and we are with
Natasha Miyazaki of Paper Machine.
Now, that's a very unusual last name.
Yes, and my husband's half Japanese. So my first name's obviously Russian origin, and I'm English, and my last name's Japanese. So when people, obviously, nowadays everyone's on email, which is quite funny, because then when we meet me in person, they're really surprised. It kind of keeps people on their toes. It's quite good. Yeah. But I spent some time in Hong Kong. So I started, was born in London, in England, and then I moved to Bath, which is famous for like Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen novels, beautiful postcard city. And then moved to London, the beginning of my career. I got this great opportunity to be relocated to Hong Kong, where I ended up working for a big fashion company over there for 3 years, which was a crazy experience, because obviously Hong Kong, the cultural difference is so extreme. Hong Kong.
Oh, Hong Kong.
Yes. Of course, Hong Kong. Yeah. Well, we used to kind of own it.
China. Yeah,
I mean, technically it is owned by China now. Yeah, they we gave it back.
You had to give it back.
We had no choice. And obviously, you know, it was about time, I think, you know, the way we gained it in the first place was a bit unethical. So anyway, I spent 3 years there, which was obviously really influential to me in terms of my design aesthetic, really extreme from like English heritage to like, you know, Southeast Asia. The contrast is very extreme. So that's kind of...
Hong Kong has got a lot of British elements.
It does. It's a huge expat community.
Got your buses there and everything.
Yes, the infrastructure is very English, but yeah. Obviously, you know, it's crazy, like bustling, like the city just is so condensed and it's so like multicultural and like everything's like stacked on itself. So literally you'll have store on store on store on store, and then you have all these walkways and
right.
And it's amazing. It's kind of like, then you've got the underground. So it's kind of like this crazy 3D
city. How long did you live in Hong Kong?
3 years.
Yes.
That's long enough to feel the culture.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I left on a high, let's put it like that, rather than, you know, being kicked out.
Yeah, I've been on.
You're listening to the Uncommon Core podcast.
So how did you meet your husband? You met him in Hong Kong.
So I met him in LA, actually, funnily enough. 10 years ago, before I moved to Hong Kong, I was in LA for a work trip. I was working with a friend of mine that had a startup fashion brand, online store. We went there to do research, trend research, and also source a lot of vintage stuff, because that was kind of trending at the time to repurpose vintage. The upcycling movement had just begun, so we tried to tap into that. So I went to LA because obviously it's known for its vintage, you know, it's kind of like a mecca of vintage. Yes, there's all these big warehouses where they receive all of these like vintage like bundles from around America.
Okay.
So
like a Goodwill collection situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, most of the vintage stuff is in the Midwest is where you find it.
Well, it's all like...
It goes to LA.
It's all moved to LA, and yeah. It's like these huge warehouses, and you're literally climbing up these mountains of like jeans and dresses, and like they're all sorted by category, and you literally have to like get down and dirty and dig for treasure, which is a great experience, but obviously, you know, it's quite messy.
And you buy by the pound.
Yes, you do. You either buy by the pound and you kind of get a lucky dip, or you get cherry picked of the good stuff. Now obviously everybody has an Etsy store, everybody's selling vintage, so it's a little bit, you know, overtapped.
Much more competitive than it was.
Way more competitive, and like, yeah, a lot of people are doing it, so it's kind of like had its day. So I did that, and that's when I met my husband. He was actually working in a coffee shop in the hotel where I was staying. I was really jet lagged, so I was up all night and just in the coffee shop first thing in the morning, and we just hit it off. And then I went back to London, followed my career to Hong Kong, and then I was working for an LA-based company, Guess Jeans, and they had a Hong Kong office at that time. And so I was coming back to LA for work. And one of my trips, I ended up reconnecting with him and we hit it off again. And then we did long distance for a year, and that's kind of when I decided to make my move to LA. And then he proposed. After 6 months, it was kind of like a shotgun wedding. No baby, don't worry.
But there was a shotgun.
Yeah. Was
okay. Well. Okay. So this is your epic story. So.
Yeah.
Skip to the middle.
Okay.
And go to where you picked up this brand that you're doing now.
So after I moved to LA, I got married, and then I worked for 2 years for a company called Nasty Gal, which I'm sure you've heard of. They were a startup. They started with eBay and they started selling vintage, and then they created their own line and then also took on other brands. They saw really great success, but then they grew too fast, and then they actually filed for bankruptcy a year after I'd left.
Okay.
Spent 2 years there. I kind of learned a lot because obviously I'd worked for like the huge corporate giant of Guess, and then I went to work for like a startup which was turning over like 120 million a year as opposed to 6.5 billion a year. So it was still a successful business, but another great learning curve. But after those 2 years, I really was like, I need to spread my wings and fly. I need to do my own thing. So I handed in my notice and I decided to go freelance and consulting. And also that was very fast fashion. And in fast fashion, you're kind of just ripping off high-end designers a lot. Like, it's very competitive. There's a lot of other fast fashion brands. So I really wanted to like hone in my own design and creativity. So I started becoming a consultant and working for more higher-end brands. And obviously LA has got a massive industry there and there's a lot of streetwear startups. So then I did that for a couple years, and obviously I was seeing other people do it, and it just increased my appetite to do it for myself, a lifelong dream to do it for myself. So at that point, I just decided to do it myself. I'm still consulting for other people while I get mine off the ground.
So that's your paper machine brand?
Yes, the paper machine is mine. It's about a year and a half old. This is my second collection. I'm direct to consumer, and I started off with private clients, you know, word of mouth, friends,
well,
family, social media.
Well, we're not in your booth, actually, so we just ran into you. So
yes.
Can you describe, I mean, we can see what you're wearing, but how would you describe your clothing line?
So it's a combination of like English heritage tailoring, but then making it contemporary by deconstructing it. So there's a lot of raw finishes, like unconventional tailored like details. And that's really menswear inspired. So I use a lot of tailored fabric suitings and shirtings. And then I also have the juxtaposed kind of super soft silks and feminine laces, which then really complement each other. So it's kind of like that hard and soft yin yang, masculine feminine, which I think is life in the balance.
Right. What you have right now is you have your, is this like a multi-layer?
Yes, it's all about layering. I love that. I'm English, and I feel like that's the way we dress because the weather's always changing. Similar to New York, right?
But like, it's one outfit. It's one thing you put
correct.
On.
But
it looks layered.
But it's two pieces on, right?
There's two pieces. So there's the underdress, which obviously you can interchange. You could wear a bodysuit. You could wear nothing. You could wear underwear, whatever you want to do. And then the outer dress
that's not
is
connected.
Sheer.
No,
they're completely detachable.
Oh, so they just go together.
Yes, and you can also wear this as a top over pants.
It's
you know?
A modular concept.
Yeah, it is.
No, the thing about it is, I know the viewers cannot see this, but paper machine is not part of the design.
No.
Okay, you got that right, Tom?
Yeah. So
there's no paper and there's no machines.
No, but what I'm saying is that this poster on the front is strictly for the show.
This was a graphic I designed, which was inspired by Japanese posters. And I like to do a lot of illustrations and graphics myself. So I just wanted to add another element to this dress, just to give it another dimension. And obviously streetwear is really trending, and branding, especially in the beginning when you're a startup, you need to get your name out there. So
very true.
Does all your stuff have the, what is it called again?
This is embroidered,
the
roses.
Embroidery, yeah. Does all your stuff have embroidery?
No, but it always has like a textural element. So whether it's in the fabric,
element.
You know, whether it's like got like some sort of small embroidery on
a stud
it.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or the trim, like it always has to have multiple textures. And that's kind of what I like, is that multi-layering of textures.
Why don't we take a quick walk, since your booth is not that far, and see if we can actually get a better glimpse of what else you're doing,
sure,
okay?
Yes.
So why don't we head over?
You're listening to the Uncommon Core podcast with your host, Thomas Howell. Our Instagram is Instagram/UncommonCorePodcast.
Why don't we head over?
You have dresses. It's okay, we can walk and talk. So you have dresses, and what else do you have? Do you have jewelry
or
anything like
I
that?
I have a small collection of accessories, which are just more to complement.
Right.
It's right.
Okay.
Which complement the clothes, but I don't really push accessories. I'm more apparel. It's young contemporary women's wear, but by all means, it could be worn by guys, you know. Nowadays, I think that's much more acceptable. Because of its menswear suiting kind of nod, it definitely,
you'll
see.
You don't make anything specific for men then?
No, but then who's to say what's for men and women
exactly
nowadays? I'm not going to tell you what to wear. Whatever you love, whatever you gravitate towards, it expresses who you are. So this is my collection over here, as you can see. Like, there's a lot of these laces I was talking about and all these textures. Obviously, tie-dye is quite in right now. So I'm kind
of, so you have t-shirts,
yes,
and dresses.
I have everything. I have tops, I have pants, I have dresses, I have little romper
over here.
What's
that Western swing thing you have over there? Is that yours?
This?
Yeah.
This is actually a hand-painted leather jacket. So I actually hand-painted
leather
this.
Jacket.
And obviously, it's inspired by the blue and white porcelain, which obviously crosses over from British and the Japanese culture from, you know, hundreds of years ago. So that's kind of bringing that in, and I actually hand illustrate them myself, so it's quite a labor of love.
So it's a porcelain designed white leather jacket.
Yes.
With a blue
Blue and white.
Right.
It's very of the time. Like a tapestry, but on pottery. Yeah.
Exactly.
But this one obviously is a bit more contemporary. There is the soutage element, which is like kind of a little bit of an LA vibe because of the Americana Western in the moto jacket. But then obviously the art is very traditional.
Now, is the jacket yours as well?
Yes, it is. So I made the jacket. I actually made this with another brand because they have a bigger manufacturing capability. Designed it with them, did the fit, and then I created the art on top of that. Yeah. A men's tailored pant, but then I've cinched it in at the waist and elasticated it and then added like one asymmetrical stripe down the side. So it's kind of like making it more contemporary. Like I said, a guy could wear this. A girl could wear this.
The right guy could wear it?
Yeah, the right guy. Exactly.
Kind of
But again, you know, look, this is more of a deconstructed like kind of tailoring vibe with, you know, the cutout waistcoat and all of this silk trim. So as you can see with the really nice detailed snaps, it's very three-dimensional.
Very edgy.
Thank you.
Well, you can see your British and Asian influence.
Right?
Yeah,
very quickly.
Good, I'm glad it's coming across. Yeah, so.
And a hoodie as well, you have one as a hoodie. So you have a little bit of everything.
You have to be a bit commercial as well when you're selling to the public. You need to have a range and you need to have like an opening price point that sells a lot of units and that's your bread and butter. And then obviously you have your show pieces, which probably you only sell one or two and they're really mainly for press, editorial. And that's what gets your brand name out there, and this is what makes you money. You know what I mean? It's a like business as well as a, you know, a passion
like a
of love.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the bread basket, you know, charge for that.
Now I'm curious, Mastered UK is the umbrella of four brands. Is that what I'm gathering?
So Mastered UK is actually an accelerator program. They're a startup. I think they're like 4 or 5 years old. They're based in the UK. And they basically, it's an 8-month program and it basically accelerates you into success. So it gives you the tools. That's their pitch, yeah.
Hey, them for this acceleration.
I mean, there's a small fee attached to it, but obviously there's a lot of perks. For example, they have sponsored us and they've collaborated with Capsule. So we haven't actually paid for this store. It's a partnership. So obviously it's a partnership with Capsule.
Right.
So Capsule and Mastered have arranged this situation. And then for a few select few that are on the course that are ready for it and they are nominated by the people that you work with on the course, they basically like put us up for that. You apply and then they pick, Capsule picks from the selection, and we were the lucky four. There's actually another, I think, four in Cabana as well. So there's eight of us total showing this weekend. Yeah, so it's
so
a great opportunity.
Featured.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Now, I'm curious, Mastered UK, it implies that this is UK-based collective.
So the company Mastered is based in the UK, but it's an international program. So for example, I'm based in LA, but I'm English, but I work remotely. It's all online, and we have a lot of conference calls. We all do it digitally. For example, the designer next to me, she was studied in London, but she actually lives in Beijing, the jewelry designer. The one next to me there, she's in New York, but she's also from Dubai. And then the one on the end, she's from Jordan. So you can see it's really eclectic, you know? It's very diverse.
And some partnerships will grow from this too.
Everybody looks pretty good.
Is she wearing one of your pieces?
No, funnily enough, we collaborated. We spoke. We said, no, complete coincidence.
Okay, somebody has to go home and change. Okay.
I'm just pretending it's my dress. she's working with me, and then the jewelry really complements my collection as well. So they've done a really good job of picking the right people to
curating the right group together.
Yeah, totally. And also, obviously, you know, it's an accelerator, so it's modules. And you have like mentors that you present your work to, you get feedback, and then it sets you up by like, for example, you start with sales and retail, then you go into wholesale, and it's much more business than creative, which is kind of, I think, a lot of people that are creative lack.
Exactly.
And it creates accountability and it gives you steps to basically follow to succeed. It's not gonna give you the answer. It's just gonna push you in the right direction.
So these brands, so your paper machine.
Correct.
And then there's Tanya George. Who's that?
Tanya George is on the end.
Okay.
From Jordan.
And that's the pastels, and they've got some
Vincente
pink bunny rabbits on a coat, I noticed. It looks pretty good. And then there's Vink. What's that? How do you think the third one?
Is it, how do I say it correctly?
Here, come over here.
It's French.
Because we're not going to have time to go to everybody individually. Yeah. So why don't you just say hello, Conrad. What's your name again?
My name is Sumaya, and I'm the founder and creative director of Van Cats.
Where are you based out of?
I'm based out of New York.
Say it again. How do you pronounce it?
Van Cats. It's 24 in French. The concept is day to night wear, transitional seasonal
spaces. Okay,
spaces.
I see.
Yeah. Thank you.
And what do you have the what? What's your line?
My line is all.
You have like the.
We focus on a lot of outerwear, but also layering pieces. So we have.
What is that? Is that a trench or?
It's a reversible coat.
That's outerwear.
Oh, just a coat.
Outerwear. Yeah.
It's long like a trench.
Felt wool.
Leather.
This is wool. It's reversible, so it's two-toned.
Interesting.
In both sides. These two unisex pieces.
You're going into some heavy construction here. This is hard work.
Yeah.
This outerwear, I mean, what volumes are you doing with a garment like that? Are you producing a certain number?
It's about 50 units per style, just depending on orders. And this is one of our best sellers, just it being a unisex piece. We are predominantly a women's wear brand, but we do have a lot of men.
So this kind of is urban a little bit, really,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, our concept is catering to the urban nomad. So the person who's
another
traveling.
Another urban nomad. I know another urban nomad.
The person constantly on the go, traveling, you know, in different environments and taking them through their 24-hour day.
And pretty rugged stuff. It seems as if this is really made for wear and tear.
Yeah, 100%. Durable pieces. I'm actually wearing one of the pants right now, and she's wearing the bomber jacket. That's our
signature piece.
Sorry?
Your signature piece?
Signature piece, and that's also co-founder, my sister, and business partner.
Yeah. This looks a little expensive. What are the prices? What are the retails on these
coats? We have entry price point pieces, such as the t-shirts, which are starting at $95.
And so they're not
too much. It goes up all the way to our outerwear, which is at $1,100.
Oh, yeah, it looks expensive.
Yeah, so we have a varied range.
Is it shearling I'm looking at right there? That's a shearling piece,
that's
right?
A
an unsheared shearling, yeah. Cool. Wow, so you're definitely heading into outerwear.
I would say right now we're focusing on that, but we definitely want to expand into other categories as well and have a full curated wardrobe edit.
You're part of the accelerator program?
Yes.
Now, how many modules are there in this accelerator program?
5 modules.
And what module are you on?
We're on module 4 right now.
Really? So you're about to launch.
About to, yes. Actually, I started the accelerator when we launched the brand in January.
So you've gone through the process quite quickly. So what do you anticipate from this particular show? What's the most important thing that could happen here?
Well, we already got an order this morning for some of our pieces. And through Mastered, we actually showed at Capsule in Vegas in February. And we got a full order for over 100 units.
Fantastic. So you're on your way. So you just have to get the machine running smoothly now. Where are you producing from?
New York and LA.
New York, really? So that means that's one reason why it's a little expensive.
Yes.
Well, it looks like you're on your way.
You're from here?
I'm from Dubai.
You're the one from Dubai.
But I live in New York, yeah.
Okay, well, you don't have to tell us our whole story. We already got like an epic story already. So.
Well, it's great that you have your sister with you. Are you both designers?
She's on the business and finance side of things.
Oh, good. So you can keep track of her, right? Yeah. Well, nice meeting you both. And
yeah,
I hope this does well.
Let's get the other two people real quick. So one second. Leave them out.
Let's come back over here.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hi.
No, you are the WJY.
Yeah.
And you're doing jewelry.
Jewelry design, yeah.
And is it precious and semi-precious, or what are you doing?
It's a semi-precious jewelry. My name's Jia Ying. I come from London. My hometown is in Beijing.
Sorry.
And I graduated from Central Saint Martin, London, a few years ago. And I started this brand last year because I really love all kinds of gemstone. I feel it gives me lots of energy
imagination.
I come from Beijing. And I'm now living in London. I graduated from Central Saint Martin a couple of years ago, and then I started my own brand last year. And I have collected lots of gemstone and
stones, right?
Stores, because really like different kinds of stores. I feel it gives me lots of energy and imagination. And so I started my first collection last year, which is a real crystal. I called natural texture. I keep all the gemstone in the very natural surface. It's somehow like when they just go up from the natural environment. But this chip, it means happiness for the people. It means good luck for the people who wore it. And second collection called Universe, which is you can see now, is inspired by the universe. It's really like when people flying on the universe really feel of the freedom and imagination and everything. So I have these, you can see these kind of like this. And then this is my favorite, which is the biggest earring.
That's an earring.
Okay, so yeah, it's an earring.
Just for our listeners, so the earrings that you have are little spiral
universes,
almost like a helix,
yes,
right? And then you have little planets along that, and it's bouncy, like it's
spring-like.
Springy. It's kind of movable.
Yeah,
when you're wearing.
No,
it's really like during the universe,
right.
Like this.
So you have a lot of stuff in there, but it's very small and very delicate at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. No, I'm aware that the Chinese are very superstitious, and they are into a lot of semi-precious stones. Yeah. So the stones that you've selected here, like the pink ones that I'm looking at, what is that stone and what is the attribute or characteristic of that particular stone?
Oh, this one is slightly different. This is Mako. It's actually from American or South American. I selected this stone because the purpose, the color, is the most popular colors at this year. It's published by the Pantone. So I feel it's really fashionable color of these materials. The rest of materials I selected is all based on the original material and the substance.
Now, are we looking at gold and semi-precious stones, or is it gold-plated, or what are we looking at?
In this collection, I use gold-plated, because I want this easy for sale and affordable for everyone. It's much
price conscious
value, yes,
the
than
stones?
The other ones.
The
yeah,
stones?
This this is from shells.
Okay.
Because I personally I really like the color of white. So when I design these stones, I usually start from the white, and after finish all the sample, then I select it to the other colors of gemstone. So this is the original one, but I really like it. It's also very good for sale.
Right.
And then another collection I really like it is this agate. It's really real agate. You can see the P here.
No, those are cufflinks.
Yeah.
Is it? You mean agate?
Agate, right.
Yeah, very interesting.
Now, do you create them all yourself? So a lot of handwork that you're doing, or is it a team of people?
I have a team of people. I personally do lots of handwork and design the concept, which is I usually really good at. Then I can distinguish which direction is good for this whole collection, which one is good concept, which materials we can select it for supporting my main concept, which kind of shapes and the styles we need to comprehend within these collections. And this is the job I do, and I have my assistant to help me to do the 3D design and other things.
What's your name again?
Jia Ying Wang. Jia Ying.
Jia Ying.
Jia Ying.
Okay.
Yeah, Jia.
You're from where?
My hometown is Beijing.
Okay.
So it's J-I-N-G.
J-I-N-Y-I-N-G.
Right. And all of the four people are under Master UK.
Be a patron at our patron page at www.patreon.com/uncommoncore. And if you would like to see Tom and Q cross the country in a van, you can find 10-minute videos of the trip at www.goingyonder.com, GOINYONDER.com. All this and more, including links, pictures, and personal essays, can be found on our webpage at www.uccpodcast.com or uncommoncorepodcast.com.
Don't understand how we make our selections. And then look, they went, why not me? Why not me?
Well, if they say that, go talk. We can talk to them.
Well, you know, there's so many people you can talk to. It's like, we don't really want to cover the entire show. Otherwise,
oh, well, most of the time they just look at me and say, go away.
Watch me as I do it now. Now, feel me when you hear that sound.
You've been listening to the Uncommon Core podcast with Thomas Howell. I'm Satoko Smith. Thank you for listening.